Lizzie.
Woo! I'm Amanda! Yeah!
She's really excited.
Yay! It's the deflowering party!
You've been waiting for like a year for this.
I know! I'm legitimately excited. I think that this is long overdue.
I know you can't see Amanda, but she literally came to my house wearing a crown and lays.
Yeah. That's right. Big fluffy crown, too. That's so uncomfortable. I took it off, but the lays are staying on.
Yeah.
Well. So...
It's official.
It is.
We'll get there, I guess.
Right? Yeah, we'll get there. We'll talk about it. But, you know, really, I'm almost as excited as I was for the switcheroo.
Yeah, actually. You know? I was sort of expecting it, though. I don't know.
Yeah,
not the way it happened, but okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Before we get to that.
It was a really good couple of weeks, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think... The stories were interesting, and for the most part, I cared.
And I loved the costumes, and...
Yeah.
It was... I mean, there were times where I was just like, I love this show.
Yeah.
And then there were a few times where I was like, I hate this show.
Oh, why?
Because some of the Lauren storyline stuff is
Well, the Sheila stuff I could live without.
It's exactly.
It's like, haven't you already done this?
It's so lame.
More than once? I mean...
It's like the masquerade ball, I thought, was really well written and put together.
Yeah.
So, okay, so pre-masquerade ball.
Mm-hmm.
Adam was in the hospital, sort of poor me,
right.
Getting ready.
To go to prison.
Yeah, basically. Which I was thinking, like, I know he did a lot of things wrong, and he is kind of like an ex-con.
Yeah.
But everybody acts like he's this homicidal maniac, when I don't think he's killed anybody.
No, he hasn't really done...
He switched a baby.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything overtly violent. I mean, kidnapping a baby is awful.
It's a
bit... And he could, maybe you could say he killed Ashley and Victor's baby.
Depending on the state.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I mean, he definitely was,
maybe
I think...
a little bit of salt there.
Yeah, you know, kind of responsible for her falling down the stairs and all that kind of stuff. But that's still kind of a pretty tenuous link, you know?
Uh-huh. They just make it seem like they're all... constantly going, I hope Adam rots in hell.
Yeah, he's worse than Hitler. Like, you guys, come on.
Yeah, seriously. And I kind of feel like they made him that way in a way.
You know, he did a lot
Not completely, but
Yeah, horrible things. But the level of outrage seems a little bit overboard. And I think a lot of it's defensive.
Yeah.
You know, because they let it go on so long, they never got him the help he clearly needed. He didn't really get the support he needed. If they had treated him nicely, I think that...
You sound like a teacher right now, by
I know. Well, I had that kind of a day. Yeah, it was like, think about your choices. So
it was Patty posing as Dr. Pete, making the decision whether he should be in...
Oh, in the psych ward of the prison or in
go to prison.
Yeah, the prison ward of the prison.
And he kind of blackmailed her. Well,
no kind of about it.
It was a great scene. I loved it.
Yeah,
he had the nurse call her, and the nurse was like, I have a message from your patient Adam. And Patty's like, I'm too busy for this.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse was like, he says he knows about the pottery shed or something.
Right, oh, that's right,
Because that's where she was, you know, Mary Jane.
Yeah.
And Patty's, like, trying to pretend. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then the nurse goes, he says meow.
Yeah, and the nurse was great. You know, the nurse, for never
she
having,
was good.
You know, for never having another role again.
Bring her back.
She was good. Or, you know, she had no title, no name.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she did okay.
Yeah, I loved it.
So, of course, Patty comes rushing over.
And he had sent the nurse to the gift shop.
Mm-hmm.
And... bought a stuffed animal cat that had a little meow button.
Yeah, a little sound maker in there.
And he hid it under the blanket. Patty's there.
Being indignant, saying, I'm not going to do what you say. It's your word against mine, and everyone knows you're crazy. And,
and she, yeah. We hear some meows.
Yeah. It was like, oh, so good.
I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. And she immediately caved.
Yeah, immediately. And he basically talked her into coming with a plan that she would help him escape. She would have an airtight alibi, supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He wouldn't give it up that she was Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's vulnerable and naive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and not the sharpest crayon in the box.
No.
So.
But you don't have to be that sharp when you live in Genoa City. Yeah,
Come on. That's true. That's true.
You could be.
But I think Patty also knows that there's getting to be enough suspicion of her. Mm-hmm. That.
Jack has definitely lost his spark.
Oh, yeah.
He is not happy big time. With her.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are kind of looking at her funny, just kind of going, yeah. You know, who are you and what have you done with Emily? Not really realizing the.
But they never even really knew Emily that well anyway.
No. Well, nobody did. Not even Jack, he's realizing.
No. He knew her for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway. So everybody's like gearing up for the ball. They're going to the ball. It's fabulous masquerade ball.
Now, okay, here's a question. This ball, clearly, in the minds of the people, it's something they do on a regular basis. It's something everyone was familiar with. They all knew what to do.
I've never seen it before.
Never? Okay. So maybe this in the, you know.
In their minds is taking over the gala.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, oh, okay, they don't do the gala anymore. Maybe they're going to turn it into an annual masquerade ball, which would be super awesome.
Maybe they just, that would be super awesome. Oh my God, I'd love that. But I don't think the first masquerade ball went so well.
Well, you know, there's glitches every time you do something for the first time. Yeah. So.
Because Patty was supposed to, they had talked her into giving a speech about.
Oh, right, domestic violence.
Women, right? Yeah. And Patty's like, I don't.
Yeah, she clearly knew she was in trouble.
Yeah.
So the whole business with Adam in the hospital.
Almost got her out in her favor.
Yeah, it got her out of having to do the speech. Yeah. She didn't have to do it.
Uh-huh. Because, so everybody's kind of at the ball, or they're like about to arrive at the ball, they're getting ready, and she goes in with a syringe full of a sedative.
Right.
And the plan is that Adam is going to drug out.
Or the guard.
The guard. And she pretends like she's already been knocked out and she's laying on the floor when the guard comes in. And then she's brought Adam a full masquerade suit.
Right. In a suit bag.
Yeah.
So no one else could see what it was. And it would kind of make sense.
Yeah, she was she's like, she's on her
way to the ball, so it would make sense that she would have this, you know, big thing.
Sure. And
that hat was so fabulous, though.
You know, she's had a lot of very large, black, wide-brimmed hats in her career as Mary Jane, Patty.
Yeah, everyone.
In all her disguises. She just went to her closet and was like, opened the hat this closet. This
one. Right. They're all the labeled. Capes. I can see them all labeled. You know. Day wear, crazy. Evening wear, psychotic.
Absolutely. Yeah. So then she kind of thought she was just going to play dead.
That she was just going to pretend.
And he grabbed her and
shot her full of her up what. Too. Yeah.
And he took off. And then, I mean, so really, it worked out for her, though.
Oh, yeah.
I was glad. She wasn't lying about being knocked out.
Right, yeah.
Because she's a bad liar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she'll get caught eventually, I think. I don't think it'll stand
up. It's been rolling a while.
I don't know. It just seems like when Chance questioned her about it, she got pretty panicky and, you know, got defensive and, you know, I can't remember this. I can't remember that. You know, how do you expect me to remember these things? And I'm just like, you're supposed to be a psychiatrist. You're a doctor. Like you should remember these things.
I do feel like they expect her to do a lot of things. I mean, no, you're right. Her interrogation went very poorly. But sometimes it's like people just start coming to her like, I need your counseling. Shouldn't you know? And she's like, whoa, hey now. You know, slow down. I don't know.
I
feel like they're about pushy.
Well, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And inappropriate. But she should still have the knowledge.
Yeah, okay.
She should just have the boundaries to say, no, I'm You're off right. duty.
Okay.
Leave me alone, coffee shop crazy lady. Go away.
Yeah. And her outfit at the ball was the most awesome.
So I don't even remember what she wore below the neck.
I don't either.
The mask itself.
It was a kitty mask.
It was a kitty mask. And as soon as I saw it, I was just like, of course it's a kitty mask. It couldn't be anything else.
Absolutely. It was perfect, really.
Yeah.
I love how they play that in, like, as much as they can.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they did that, you know, they did that a lot. And on some people, it was super obvious. You know, Billy's mask was a devil mask. And
Adams was, like, half gold, half black. Yeah. You know.
And Victor's was just Zorro.
Oh, that's right.
He just had straight up, you know, just black, unadorned. Uh-huh. You know, it was like a suit mask that comes with a tuxedo.
Jill's was completely bedazzled.
Yeah, hers was...
with a giant veil.
Hers was over the top. It was as huge. Was Jill. I always wonder, you know, maybe there is some kind of rule of etiquette, but who decides if you wear it or have it on the stick?
I was wondering the same thing, but, you know it's kind of like the people who kept the mask on the whole time, I feel like, you know, they're kind of trying to hide. Mm-hmm. And those who had theirs on the stick and could sort of have it, sometimes have it not, it seems like those are the people who don't have anything to hide at this point.
Okay, all right.
I was trying to think
did
about
Neil
it.
Did Neil have one on a stick, or did he have, was he wearing
his? I think he was wearing his the whole time.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
You know, it's good theory, if that was actually
Mrs.
the case.
Mrs. Chancellor's was just super crazy glittery.
Yeah, hers was great. I liked it. But hers was super crazy glittery with probably actual jewels.
I know.
You know, it's probably...
they just dipped it in diamonds.
Yeah, it's like, okay, just roll this in the loose stones bin. put a little glue on there.
I thought, actually, the hottest person at the whole ball was Heather.
Heather looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did look... For once, the dark hair was working for her, and...
She had this, like, strapless black dress... Mm-hmm. With kind of this fluffy collar, like as a necklace. Kind of thing. I don't know. Cat-like, too.
Yeah. No, she looked pretty hot.
Yeah.
And she's been pretty drab lately.
She has been.
I did not like Lauren's dress.
I didn't either.
I thought it was ugly and unflattering, the whole open back. Some people can carry that off. And I think she's too...
What?
Too thin? Too cut, too unfeminine. I don't know. There was just something about it that it didn't work for me.
I just was thinking, Lauren has such awesome boobs.
Why are you calling attraction to her back?
Yeah, that's kind of always like her focal point, I guess.
You should be me. That should have been my comment. But yeah, you're right.
Well, you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I totally
She's
know.
A hard body.
Yeah.
And I just kind of felt like that is more, I guess you're right, more of a waify sort of feminine kind of dress. And Lauren does look like, I don't know, she's kind of muscular in a good way.
Yeah, yeah, no, she's definitely fit.
I just wasn't into it.
Yeah, I just didn't care for it. I did like Phyllis's dress. I thought that was kind of,
given
that she's in a wheelchair, and it's hard to wear a gown in a wheelchair.
Because her leg is broken.
Yeah. And so.
Did Sharon? She was just upstairs the whole night, right?
No, she came down. She was wearing black.
Did she have a mask?
I don't think so. I don't think she ever wore a mask. She just came down during the 10 minutes that...
Yeah, I don't seem to remember
Nick went up
mask.
To...
Now, what was Murphy's mask? I don't even remember. Was that kind of a Zorro kind of thing, too?
Yeah, it was pretty... Yeah, it was pretty basic.
What about Jack?
Jack's mask was one of those sleep masks that has the gel in it because he didn't know what kind of party it was.
That would be funny.
Ashley had a nice mask. I liked hers, too.
Yeah, she did.
Hers was pretty. And it was on a stick.
It was.
Mask on a stick.
I loved how they really... It was like a feast for the eyes because you were just sort of...
Very visual.
Getting to look at so many different things. A lot of times, you know, you see their outfit, you see the same scene over and over again. So it was kind of like mixing it up and making it special.
And I think... You know, to a certain extent, with the exception of Patty and Billy, they did try to sort of show the person's personality through their outfit.
Yeah.
You know whose dress I absolutely hated?
No.
Victoria's. What the hell was that thing sticking out of the side?
I thought that was interesting.
It was like, if it didn't have that one.
It had a giant, like, 9-foot-long feather.
Feather thing? Yeah.
Shooting out of her
It's an eye poker out or coming breast. Out of her... Who knows? Out of her armpit.
Yeah, it was out of her armpit. It was weird.
It was very weird. And it was hard to do angles around. And they were trying to shoot Billy, you know, talking tenderly to her. And he's got this thing in his, you know... I didn't like it at all. It was just bad all the way around.
Yeah, I wasn't super into her dress.
Yeah, the color was nice. I will
grant you that. Most everybody wore, like, a dark...
Yeah, it was pretty tame.
Yeah, dress.
You know, somber colors, but...
Yeah. Oh, Daisy Ridder and Sarah Smythe.
Yeah. So we need to know who Sarah Smythe is.
Okay, let's backtrack. Why are Daisy and Ryder...
Even there.
There.
So we know that they...
Lauren and Michael had put it together.
Yeah, they put it together. They did a kind of a sting operation.
Was that legal? I was confused.
I think
that's entrapment.
For what? Why?
Okay, so they go to Michael's. Michael and Chance are over there. And Chance hooks up this fancy doohickey to the laptop and pretends that they are Daisy's phone.
Right.
And they text Ryder, and it says, like, come to the apartment, their apartment.
Right.
She writes back. Or he writes back.
He writes back, I can't. I've got a restraining order. Right.
She write, well...
Them as she.
Them as Daisy. Write back, no one's here, it's just me. And he goes, okay, I'm on my way. So, Ryder's on his way. In the meantime...
So, yeah, that does seem like entrapment. Because they're luring him to do something he knows is illegal. And he says right there, I know this is illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so, yeah.
I just...
Check against them.
Okay. Because Chance is so about the law. And I just went, really?
About it. Yeah.
That's kind of... Okay, whatever. Anyway, so at the same time then, Michael and Lauren had sort of faked an argument.
Yeah,
at the,
faked a fight.
At Crimson Lights. And then Michael leaves to go do his thing with Chance.
Mm-hmm.
And they know Daisy is watching. Daisy comes over. Lauren kind of confronts her.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, accepts her.
Yeah, and we had talked last time about how I thought that she was...
You honestly thought she had accepted Daisy's?
That she had accepted Daisy's, and you said, no, it was all a scam, so...
So it was a scam, right? Yeah. And she convinces Daisy... Or no, what did they do?
No, she convinced Daisy that they were on good terms again, and then she and Paul... Somehow Daisy knows that she's going to go meet Paul at Jimmy's.
Oh, that's right.
And she puts on her super awesome disguise hat.
She also has a closet full of disguise hats.
That's right, yes.
And cloaks.
And cloaks and, you know, sunglasses. And goes and sits in the designated in disguise
spy booth
seat.
At Jimmy's.
Right. And watches Lauren and Paul make out a little bit. And
it's fake making out.
Right, yeah. They're
for
not...
the benefit of Daisy.
Right, who's taking pictures and then gets caught.
Yeah. They grab her and then...
And her phone.
And her camera or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then they take her back to the apartment.
Right.
Where Ryder has just shown up.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of grill all of them. And Ryder at one point even goes, am I being arrested? And Chance never directly answers it. He just goes, well, I have some questions for you.
Yeah.
And if Daisy and Ryder were that smart, they would have gone, we're out of here.
Lawyer.
Yeah.
I want a lawyer.
Yeah.
Not Michael. Please.
Or Heather.
Or Heather or Rafe.
What? Rafe hasn't proven himself a bad lawyer.
I suppose
yet,
he's... Yeah, no, I suppose he would be the best
law.
Option. Okay.
Anyway.
He would at least know someone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway... They kind of grill them, and Chance then has enough proof to take them to jail.
Right, so...
And set an extremely high bail.
Right, yeah, which also kind of didn't make sense, but I guess they decided they were a flight risk? With their $3 that they have to rub together?
For that restraining order.
Yeah, you know. Okay.
It was kind of like a little iffy as to why they went to jail, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway... So as everybody's getting to the ball, suddenly they are bailed out by Mama Bear.
Right.
Who is Sarah Smythe, who at that point we've still only really seen the back
behind,
of her.
Right.
And it's Lauren's voice.
Right.
I think we all just saw it coming.
Yeah, we didn't like it, but we saw it. It was irritating to the extreme.
If you even watched a soap opera for a week, you could pretty much see this one coming.
Right, yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
But anyway. So their plan is, now that they're bailed out, they're going to go to the masquerade ball.
Mm-hmm. And they have full face masks.
Full face. And, like, Lawrence, or not Lawrence, Daisy had this giant gold, like, tulle collar. Mm-hmm. Ryder had a hat.
Yeah. I liked how his had a little tiny mustache.
His did.
So that we could see that, it's Ryder. And it's the boy. Mustache. Yeah. The boy kidnapper.
And Sarah Smythe had, like, a big, very, like, tapestry cloak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
very swirly. And she kind of was lurking all over the place, and you could see her in the background, you know, watching.
I kept thinking, I've seen this movie. It's called Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think the password was Fidelio on that one.
Right. This one, it's Lauren Must Die.
Yeah.
That's the password.
Anyway, so they're kind of sneaking around. But mm-hmm. at one point, and Daisy had said they're just supposed to be spying on everyone
right,
there.
Right, yeah.
Ryder goes away real quick by the punch bowl and mm-hmm. texts Kevin, and it says, mm-hmm. like, Jana is nearby, remember the music.
Remember the music, yeah. I don't know what that means.
Well,
nobody knew.
Nobody really knew, but somehow Kevin lamely put together that it was carnival music.
Yeah, and that... Oh, wasn't there an old...
Yeah, somebody was like, remember that
the old
carnival?
Yeah, just outside. Oh, that's right.
It's right next to the old warehouse district.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, since when has Genoa City had an old rundown
carnival? just outside of town where no one ever goes anymore.
No one goes there, but they still hear the pipe music in the background
right,
and
yeah.
make it just as creepy.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so many of these things are wrong. And we have not heard that music.
I know. Ever. We never heard the music.
I mean, it's like if you could kind of hear it, you know, when they're being mean to
if
Jan,
it's an
or
abandoned
she's
carnival. Or even why during, would there be music?
Well, I think they're saying it's on like a loop, and it just plays all the time
to torment those who are trapped inside the maze of the abandoned carnival.
Well, and if they had played that music like in a scary background music when Jana was trying to escape.
That would have made more sense.
Really cool.
But they never even did it.
They didn't do it. They're lazy. So no wonder he can't figure out where she is, because there is no music.
Yeah, and he heads over there.
Yeah.
He kind of flips out like, I gotta go. I don't even know
right
what this
now.
Means.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised, actually, that within about 3 minutes he'd even put together there was an old abandoned carnival.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Paul... was kind of giving
I'm,
him
again,
some hints.
Again, surprised that in 3 minutes
again,
they put
yeah,
that together.
True, right.
So Kevin does go there, and it's the right place, and he's yelling her name, and mm-hmm. she can hear him, but she's in the box.
Right.
And she's screaming, and she but is if, a good screamer.
She's a good screamer. But if she can hear him, why can't he hear her?
I was thinking, if I had been her, I would have been just banging on
banging
everything.
Banging on everything, yeah. And she's, you know, okay, sure, it does take a lot of energy to scream like that and to scream like that consistently
yeah.
but yeah there should have been more banging.
That's your chance.
And
yeah
you know
the adrenaline kicks in.
I would have hoped so. And why hasn't she at least poked a hole with that screwdriver? She's got a perfectly good screwdriver.
I know. I've been thinking about this a lot.
Well, because there was an episode of Mythbusters where they had a coffin and the myth they were trying to bust was, you know, that people are put in coffins and buried alive, and the only way you find out is that later the coffin gets exhumed and there's finger scratches
oh, yeah.
on the thing. And so they wanted to see whether or not that's possible. And the way that they did it is that they put this punching machine in there and it tried to punch its way out. And under 6 feet of dirt, they were able to dent it, but that was it.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay... Jan is in a plywood box, so
see,
it's
now,
not like a heavy-duty
do
box.
Do we really know it's plywood? Do
it
we?
Looks like just a crate to me.
I was thinking, perhaps it's metal. Maybe.
No, it's wood. We've seen it from the outside. And if light can get in,
and
air can get in,
and
she
illuminate
should be,
her face.
She should be able to use that screwdriver much more effectively than she has been.
Yeah,
so
I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, points for screaming, but really losing points for...
inability to escape the crappy plywood box.
Well, poor use of the tools at hand, shall
maybe
we say.
The phantom carnival music is just...
made her nuts.
Yeah, driving her batty.
Yeah. The
anyway.
More I move, the more the music comes.
And it shows Kevin sort of going around, mm-hmm. and we even see him in some of the places she had gone when
right.
she got loose.
Yeah.
And but he just can never quite get through. It was crazy Kevin at his most inept. I didn't think he was inept so much as he was thinking he didn't even know if it was true. Yeah. And I think he was in the beginning
too frantic.
Yeah, something? He was frantically searching around, and then he started like second guessing himself, going. He thought maybe that text was a way for them to get like distract him, and so okay. really like something else was going on somewhere else. Yeah. And so he had called Which Michael. Is true. I was like, but I'm going to come back tomorrow. So I think he's going to go back.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, he has to.
Yeah, because that's the only clue
he has. And nobody knows that he went there other than Michael at this point, right? Like Daisy yeah. Ryder,
yeah, Sarah none of them, Smith. Yeah, none of them know that, none of them. That he had gone there.
Yeah, so naturally he'll go back.
Yeah. Let's hope he and doesn't get kidnapped and swapped and put in his own box, because if he has to go through that whole silver chipmunk business again... That's not okay.
No, it would not be okay. Yeah.
So, at one point, Daisy, at the masquerade ball, bumps up against Lauren and spills, you know, Kool-Aid on her. Yeah. And so Lauren has to go into the ladies' room, try and dab it out.
And Lauren made this big show of it. You are so rude!
Yeah, I know. I was...
You just ruined my dress! Yeah, I was like... You bitch! Like,
dude... Watch where you're going. Yeah, a little bit. Like, you should have been able to see her coming, but okay. Everybody,
half the people there were drunk anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure she's. Notice. Yeah, there should have been a line. They should have shown the line of people trying to get into the bathroom, but they're all kind of, you know, got the little club soda bottle and cleaning off their clothes.
Yeah, so she's hanging out in, like, the little lounge area of the bathroom, dabbing her dress, and, you know, then.
The door.
Yeah, it's like Daisy comes in. Did it lock
the door? Yeah, Ryder comes in.
Ryder and...
Looking super uncomfortable, even though he's wearing a mask.
Yes. Mama Bear, they're all there, and we all know something bad's gonna happen. Yeah. In the meantime, Sharon has checked herself in to...
Right.
The athletic club as her new transient home again.
Again.
They just have her on file. They just always keep a room empty because they know about every other week.
Sooner or later.
Like, she's going to come.
She's going to show up and, you know. And it's a nice room, so, you know. Yeah, it's whatever. Just on retainer for her. That's fine.
So she's got the baby. And...
And she's tired. That really ranked her. It was just like, oh, yeah.
She's got a new baby.
The baby has not slept. And that she's baby not is on a stressed schedule. Out. The baby's freaking out. Baby's still adorable. But, you know, even after a while, if you haven't slept and that baby's fussing, I don't care how cute that kid is. Yeah. You just want to pass her off to somebody.
And so what did Nick come by?
Nick came by first and, you know, said, go down to the party for a little while. Yeah. You know, take a break. So immediately she changes out of her spit-up stained... nasty clothes, takes a shower, makes herself beautiful, all in the course of about 7.5 minutes, puts on her ball gown, goes downstairs.
Naturally.
One of the first person she runs into is Phyllis, who's just like, what the hell? Why are you here and my husband isn't? I'm not allowed to touch your baby. Yeah. You know, only Nick and Sharon can interact with Faith now because they're trying to bond with her. Mm-hmm. But they seem to get over it pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, Ashley came over, asked how Faith was doing.
Desperate, clingy Ashley. Yeah. How's Faith doing?
Yeah, really, okay? Really desperate. Why aren't you with her all the time? Like I was, sort of. So she goes up to see the baby.
And Nick lets her in, and...
And she was okay. She wasn't, it was okay. Overboard.
It was all right. Just
kind of... I was impressed by that. I was expecting her to go overboard and, you know.
I've been waiting for her to steal the baby for pretty much every moment.
Yeah, yeah. But she had it under control.
Yeah, she did. And then she left. Sharon goes back up. Mm-hmm. Nick's back downstairs.
No. First, though, that whole business with Nick lounging on the bed, playing with baby...
She was fantasizing. Oh, no, he really was doing it.
He really was. And then she really laid down on the bed with him, and they were talking about how beautiful she is and how sweet and how, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, okay, getting a little borderline here, people. I'm not sure that's a good idea. Yeah. So I was pleased when Nick I don't know if he woke up or if he just got tired or whatever. He wanted a new beer, so he went back downstairs and danced with his wife. And,
he did.
You know, did some wheelchair dancing. That was pretty awesome.
He did do wheelchair dancing with Phyllis. So it was just pathetic because the whole time he's kind of at the ball and before things have gone haywire, mm-hmm. it's like his mind is elsewhere and Phyllis mm-hmm. keeps going, go ahead. Yeah. Go see the baby.
Yeah, Phyllis was definitely working the I'm the long suffering.
Your wife and I'm in a wheelchair because my leg is broken and I'm on painkillers. But no.
No, no. Go see. It's all baby. About you. And Nick's like, okay. Yeah, yeah it is all about me. But now, bro. Especially all about me.
Yeah.
Please.
So.
I hate it when it's about Nick.
I hate it when it's about Nick, too.
So he comes down. They're hanging out.
And Adam has gotten escaped in the meantime.
And, yeah, and we from see him. Yeah, we see him lurking a little bit downstairs. And then,
oh, he shows up, that's right. And Patty saw him in her mask. And it's sort of the
And she
kind of
went over. Didn't she go over and say, you know, what the hell are you doing here? Get out of here.
Because she's not very smart either.
Yeah.
But the news was sort of fluttering around to everyone that Adam had escaped.
Right.
And I guess I was kind of shocked because everybody in the beginning was like, where's Emily? Where's Emily? Mm-hmm. Yeah. She wasn't there to give her awesome speech.
Yeah.
So Murphy gave like an impromptu Elk Lodge speech.
Right, yeah.
And despite the fact she's been knocked out, drugged, mm-hmm. you know, by
a violent psychopath at that point,
she still makes it to the ball.
And they still just kind of...
Nobody cares.
Oh, well. Oh, good, you're here. You know.
You missed your speech.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, are you okay? Can I get you a refreshing beverage? It was just, you're late.
It was, yeah, exactly. I thought, God, Patty, milk it a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And of anyone.
And if anything, they were like, what do you mean he got away? Like, it was her fault. Yeah. Okay, even though technically it was, but they didn't know
that. But they didn't know that, yeah.
If anything, she was accosted. Yeah. She's the victim.
She was the victim, absolutely. No, they were definitely not cool with her.
No. So he's kind of, lurking around. And he finally goes upstairs to Sharon's mm-hmm. room. And she's been kind of having nightmares that he was going to come take the baby anyway.
Right, yeah.
And so when he knocks on the door and shows up, and he goes and didn't he go and pick up the baby?
Well, no, somehow he was there and he picked up the baby and she came back into the room.
What, they left the baby alone? No way.
No, that's not
No, that was the dream.
Okay,
remember?
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because he kind of comes
in. He actually does come in. Right, yeah. Okay.
And logically, she's frightened. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure what to do.
Yeah, but I still felt like her level of response was really much more tame.
I think...
than it should have been. I think she should have just grabbed the baby and run screaming loud.
Yeah.
And instead she's like trying to talk him down.
Yeah.
And trying to, letting him explain. And I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
What the hell? Get out of there.
Yeah. He gave her a full confession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of everything. All of it. That kind of surprised me.
To me, I think
last ditch effort.
I think it was beyond that. It seemed like he... officially, they've decided to make him really crazy. Mm-hmm. His eyes were getting crazy eye.
Yeah.
And I think, because he was like, you're my girl. And face my girl, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just kind of weird.
It was over the top for Adam. And which is a shame to have him kind of go out on that note.
Because normally he's very complex and subtle.
Yeah.
And this was a little
a little melodramatic.
With the cloak and the hat.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, she is kind of freaking out. And then Nick comes up again, because he can't leave her alone.
Right, no, of course not.
And he sees Adam.
And goes into a Nick rage.
Nick rage. New catchphrase.
Yes.
What is Adam just... Adam jumps out the window.
Yeah, Adam jumped out the window, which I thought was, again, wearing that outfit. Sure, why not? And apparently Sharon's suite that's always in her name is on the ground floor, second floor. It's not too high
up.
It
looked like a fire escape out there.
Oh, okay.
That's what I thought it was, because it kind of shook a little bit with poor construction.
Oh, I just thought that was, you know, bad set. And yeah, I think it was supposed that. To be okay,
the fire escape. Okay. It was like, he was like, I love you! And jumped out the fire escape. And then, yeah, exactly. Nick was like, I'm gonna kill him!
Curses!
Yeah.
He got away.
Yeah, Nick goes out the fire escape too. She runs downstairs and tells everybody. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's on the warpath. Gotta find Adam. Because everybody at that ball
had something.
They want
to,
yeah.
Yeah, I think Catherine's probably the only one, or Murphy, who didn't have a legitimate reason to want him gone.
Pretty much. Yeah. And so they're all kind of looking. Lauren's still in the bathroom, being accosted by them.
Yeah.
And then Adam calls Sharon, and it sounded extremely fake to me, where he said, come get me, I'm in the basement. I don't know how long I'll be here.
Yeah, what was that about?
I think when I heard it, I thought he knows that she would never go down there to get him herself. She'd send all her goons.
Yeah.
So it was fake, and I don't think he was down there.
Yeah, okay.
And then they all get down there, and it shows everybody lurking around.
Yeah, you know, different corners. And
yeah, it was pretty good. I enjoyed that.
It was okay.
I mean, it was extremely cheesy. But,
yeah, definitely. You
know. And then Nick sees this wide open gas pipe.
Yeah. Which was just like, oh, well, all right then.
Gas is bad. And he was just like, it's a gas leak! Get out! And as much as like he was like trying to rev it up, it was like when they were letting people out. Everyone else was just
kind of like, ah, da 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 da.
Yeah, I'm just gonna slowly walk out the revolving door.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the level of panic was definitely not equal to the situation.
No. It was almost like people were like, well, let me go get one more glass of champagne.
Right. I need those little quiches before
I go. I want something while I'm waiting out in the outside.
That's right. Yeah. Could you bring me my coat?
Maybe they were just drugged out by all the gas in the air.
That could be. Yeah. That could be.
But Nick was flipping out. He was like, it's a gas leak!
Yeah.
You know, and then they kind of course, let you know that you have about 10, 9, 8, 7, blah, 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 blah to get out. And
then kaboomy.
Movie.
Okay, here's where Nick was the worst husband ever.
Oh, worst husband ever.
Gas leak. Okay, you have a lot of options. Save yourself. All right, not necessarily honorable, but sure.
Would make sense for Newman.
Self-preservation is a strong instinct. Yeah. Fine. All right, who do you save if you can save someone? Your child. Sure, great. Save Faith.
It's your child, yeah.
That's fine. All right, next on the list, your spouse, perhaps?
Perhaps.
We see Phyllis literally spinning her wheels, trying to get out of there. No one is helping her.
Not a single person. No one.
And yes, getting, you know, fire alarms or whatever, and you've got a wheelchair, it's a pain in the butt. You pick the person up. I don't care how small you are.
I thought that was really telling, that she's alienated so many people.
I just think they're all mean.
Self-absorbed.
Yeah, I don't know. You think that's why people wouldn't save her?
I was thinking to myself, if Mrs. Chancellor had been in that wheelchair, it would have been a completely different story.
It would
story.
Have been a fight to be the person to get her out. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or even if Ashley had been in that wheelchair, you know, there's several people who would have come to her aid.
Right.
And I felt like nobody went to Phyllis. Now, granted,
even still, though, that's just horrible.
It is.
I mean, there's a time and a place to be, you know, bitchy and malevolent, but when there's a gas leak and a woman in a wheelchair, you suck it up a little bit and you put
her
in a...
give her a good push.
Yeah. Exactly. In the athletic club where we've never seen a ramp there ever. I don't know how she got into that room to begin with.
I think that this wheelchair scenario for Phyllis, the whole last couple weeks has been really great, because Phyllis is usually so independent that I think it's trying to really show that she's, like, cut herself off from other people helping her. I was even thinking when she was back home later and she's in that wheelchair, and their bedroom is upstairs.
Yeah.
And she's, like, Nick is constantly going other places.
Oh, yeah. She's,
like, how is she getting
that
upstairs?
Is not a wheelchair-friendly environment at all.
And she's pretty, like, sad about it, because nobody's really coming to
no one has
do
come to her. Yeah,
for her.
If it was Sharon, she would have men fallen over themselves to help her out, and let me carry you up the stairs, and let me, you know, do this and that, and, you know. No, Phyllis is really... I suppose she's getting, you know, reaping what she sowed, but still, it was just kind of like...
Yeah.
To me, it just seemed really, really, you know, anti-disabled, you know, Americans with Disabilities Act kind of stuff. I was like...
What's that episode of Seinfeld? It's like when the nursing home catches on fire and George... pushes all the old... It was like a birthday party and pushes all the children and the old people out of the way so he can get out first.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like that's what I was watching. A little bit.
A little bit, yeah. You
know, except everybody was George.
Everyone was doing that. Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely a fend for yourself. The exception to that was Michael, who was staying behind saying, where's my wife, and getting more and more panicky.
Yeah.
Because not
only... It was like
only...
he had been outside on the phone, and he didn't even know... He was coming in while everybody was sort of slowly shuffling out. And I liked it because he was like, what's going on? And nobody even answered him in their slow, mild shuffle. It's
right.
not like
it's
it
not
was
like
so
they couldn't
panicked.
Hear him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like they were ignoring him.
Yeah. Let's
they
go
were
outside
extremely
now.
Passive. It was kind of weird. It and, was... well, and Jill... in sort of a weird way, protected Catherine, right?
Yeah,
She threw herself on top of Catherine.
That was just a little, I don't know, overt to me. It was like, that is the place that Jill has wanted to be from the beginning. And when they wake up after the explosion...
I was going to say, Mrs.
And she's spooning Catherine. I was like, now Jill is happy. Now Jill got what she always wanted.
Yeah.
And I did like the fact that, okay... they made the joke that the two of them got trapped in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty hilarious, you know. Mm-hmm. Trite and silly and ridiculous, but, you know, still good for a chuckle.
It was.
And their little banter back and forth was...
It was
entertaining.
Yeah, that they didn't want to be trapped together.
Yeah.
But they kind of did at the same time.
Yeah.
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 You it made know, sense.
And to have the headline.
You know, when the and when
the
all
toilet.
The patrons had finally, you know, had shuffled their way
Meandered.
Out and the place exploded, mm-hmm. and those who were safe outside or had at least made their way out,
mm-hmm.
out of all the people sort of running around, like, where's so-and-so, where's so-and-so, the only one that I really thought was that convincing and sad was Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, I don't know, I don't like to see old people sad. Maybe that's my problem.
Well, he was, you know, he's a good actor. I like the guy who does Murphy.
And
I'm glad, I'm kind of glad that they don't have him as a primary character.
Yeah, you're right.
Because I think that it might get to be too much, but, you know, a little dose of Murphy every now and again is just great. Because he's so sweet, and he's such a well-rounded character.
Yeah.
You know? Just
he's
the fact,
wise.
He's wise, and he's, you know, he belongs to a lodge, and, you know, he does the fishing thing, and he's got all this stuff. But we don't have to go too far into it, because, you know...
Yeah,
that
we don't
would
need
too
to
much.
Prove that he fishes by seeing him fish all the time.
Right, yeah.
Or we don't need to see his lodge meeting. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I
it's believable.
I hope that they keep him at that level. I mean, I feel, you know, of course the actor would love to have a primary storyline, but I think that that would ruin the character.
I think you're right. We didn't mention who else was upstairs.
Oh, right. Yes, this was so great.
So Billy and Victoria, that's who you're saying is great, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Billy and Victoria, he had basically gotten her drunk.
Yeah, pretty deliberately and made no bones about it. And she went right along. If she's ever going to claim, oh, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
You got me drunk. Well.
And eventually.
No, he didn't. You got yourself
her,
drunk.
Yeah, they got drunk enough to go upstairs and get
but
a room
before
together.
That. Victor was making noises and stay away from my daughter.
Yeah.
And so Billy snuck out, somehow or another exchanged his super cool gold devil mask for a full face mask.
Yeah.
And a cape. And did he have a hat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
oh, that's right,
really
a top hat. And so he really was disguised.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it was fine for them to dance and canoodle and...
And I kept
thinking,
well, aren't people still looking around and seeing her canoodling with someone, regardless of whether you know
who
it is or not?
Yeah, it was. It would still
we
be inappropriate.
We all know it's not JT.
No, because JT was at home with Reed, hanging out, having a boys' night in.
Yeah.
And Mac came over with her ever-present pizza and decided to hang out with them.
Yeah.
And was all dressed up for the ball, and she looked, you know, pretty nice.
Yeah, she was going to go to the ball.
And decided to hang out with the boys instead. And Yeah. Have, you know, Pirate Night in.
Clearly.
Which was pretty cute.
Yeah. So, I mean, they just hung out. Yeah. So Billy and Victoria, in the meantime, then go
upstairs. And when
the bomb goes off or the explosion happens, yeah, they're like,
what was that?
Mid-coitus?
Was that you? Or was that me? I really did make the earth move.
And even though it's like this massive situation where clearly like there's been an explosion and they're in danger, mm-hmm. Victoria is like making a big deal how they can't go out together.
At the same time, right, yeah.
And it's like, whatever, okay. So well, they leave the room separately. Mm-hmm.
And as they're leaving, as they, you know, mm-hmm. go outside, everyone's coming up to each of them separately. Oh, where have you been? And Victoria, like, froze. I'm like, you couldn't say I was in the bathroom.
I was by the punch bowl. You didn't see me?
I was in the kitchen getting more ding-dongs. You know, I mean, anything.
It doesn't matter.
Instead, she was just, I was nothing. I was not having sex with Billy Abbott. Yeah. I don't know what I was doing, but I was definitely not having sex with Billy Abbott. Yeah. You know, and he's just kind of like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know.
Good for them. Yeah. That's nice.
And then Sharon was up there, too.
Mm-hmm. And Sharon got caught in rubble.
Sharon just, I think, strategically places herself in front of projectile rubble.
Did she? Was she in the rubble of the parking lot or whatever it was? Clear Springs explosion?
Oh, yeah, because she got stuck down there with Jack and Nick.
Oh, okay. That's right. Now I remember.
And who was going to sacrifice themselves so that she could get free? God. I know. Can we get over this already? Yeah.
You know what? And I wonder if, you know what, in the writer's room, here's how I would write these scenarios, that you've got, okay, X number of people need to be hurt, you know, enough to go to the hospital. Uh-huh. You just pick their names out of a hat. Yeah. And you say, oh, okay, this explosion, it's going to be Sharon, okay? And it's going to be... Ooh, Catherine. Oh, Jill. Yes, we put Catherine and Jill together. You know, yeah. It just seems they've got this little formula, or they've got a little...
But it always happens kind of the same.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Catherine's mm-hmm. always got to be hurt. Sharon's always got to be rescued. Yeah. You know, somebody always dies. Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that's what builds the parts of their character that mm-hmm. we've just come to know so well.
Yeah. Well, and I hope that, you know, there was a little bit of the day after with JT saying to Victoria. Yeah. This kind of reminds me of when you, you know, got hurt at Clear Springs and were in a coma and had the baby in a coma. And I thought for a second, it was like, oh, they're going to get back together. And then I was like, please, no. And then Victoria said something bitchy and ruined it all. I was like, yay. Because I like JT and Mac. I'm on the JT Mac train.
Whatever. I don't know what I want there.
What? I don't know. How can you not want JT and Mac to get together? They're so cute.
I guess I hate when characters are, like, so good and so...
Yeah, that's true. The two of them would be then you a like, little bit overbearing.
Put them together, and then it's like... I like everybody to have their dark secrets. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it spark.
Yeah, I think that they need to really... plumb Mac's depths a little bit more. And I think, you know, we're going to backtrack a little bit. Kane and Lily had the talk with her and said, oh, by the way, the reason Kane is able to stay in the country is because Lily really does have cancer still and it's gotten worse. And, Mac had this moment with JT of, you know.
Yeah, because she had like a nice, when Kane and Lily broke that to her, she just went, that's okay. I'm going to pray for you. Right, everything's good. And they were like, wow, thanks for being so understanding. Yeah. And they were even like, you know, if you're pissed, just let us know. Yeah. It's okay. And she's like, no, it'll be fine. Yeah. And then she just goes to JT and just breaks down. Yeah. Rightfully so.
Absolutely, yeah.
But at the same time.
It's what she got herself into and she knew from the beginning.
Come on. Like, yeah. Duh. We knew this was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and having it happen doesn't make it any more, you know, satisfying, but it's just kind of like...
She's going to be raising those babies by herself, or with JT.
With JT, yeah. I think so. Or have a custody battle over them
once everything gets resolved, once Lily lives and Kane gets back into the country.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or with the, you know, widow or widower of whichever one of them is gone to say, you know what?
I haven't read anything about their contracts being up or disputes or anything.
So she can just, you know, accuse them of not being as stable of parents as she could be because she doesn't have this immigration problem over her head or, you know, life-threatening cancer, you know.
Sure.
She should be the children's guardian.
I don't know how I feel about them being together. I haven't decided. I'm on the fence. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
Where are we going with that?
Okay, anyway.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so everybody's outside. The explosion happened. Mm-hmm. And there's ambulances and blah, blah, blah. And they bring up a body in a body bag.
Right.
And it's been charred. They don't know who it is.
They couldn't tell who it was.
The only one they can't find... Well, go ahead.
The person that I thought... I remember seeing, looking for Adam in the basement, who never showed up again, was Rafe.
I know, I was thinking what happened to
Rafe? And I thought, okay, Rafe's dead. That it's Rafe's body.
Yeah, I hope not.
I hope not, too, because, you know, again, he's kind of this side character who's got this wonderful story that we don't really know too much about, but I like him. You know?
Yeah.
He's sweet and nice and...
And let's not if they get kill rid of the gay yet.
Guy, it's just like, oh, that's just, you know, you got rid of Philip.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get rid of...
I don't know.
You know, the other half of the...
But I think you're right in that maybe they just wanted us to forget he was down there because then it'll be like a twist later.
Right, yeah.
Because the body was charred. They couldn't figure out whose it is. Mm-hmm. And then later, it's like the next day...
The next day, the super fast...
The super fast DNA test.
Shows up, yeah.
And they're... Like, Chance is going around breaking the news that it's Adam's body.
Right.
And everybody's kind of going through this whole, I'm actually happy that it's Adam.
Yeah.
He's burning in hell.
Yeah, he's a terrible, terrible person, and he always was, and had no redeeming qualities at all, which isn't exactly true.
And I don't believe it's Adam at all.
I don't think it's Adam either. I think that somehow...
But what they did say was that the body was dead before the blast.
Before it... Yeah, which would... Kind of, again, it would fit that it was Rafe. If Rafe gets in an, you know, in a fight of some sort with Adam in the basement and Adam accidentally maybe kills him, you know.
Yeah.
And then to cover that up, he opens the gas main and to escape.
Yeah.
You know, that seems plausible. And that's plausible.
Why he told Sharon, come down to the basement.
Right, yeah.
Man.
So... But yeah, at this point, everyone thinks
it's a whodunit.
Yeah, it's a whodunit. Everyone thinks that Adam's dead. None of them are sorry.
One thing that they said was that they found a very fine handkerchief with Jack's monogram.
And Jack identified it and said, yeah, that's mine. I had it in my pocket of my tuxedo at the ball.
Yeah.
And I lost it.
They found it shoved in the body's throat.
Yeah, that's not so good.
It was kind of graphic. When I heard that, I was like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, that went a little bit too far. It was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a bit, a detail.
As inept as the Genoa City Police Department is, I'd have to say their forensics department is apparently just rushing through things.
Yeah, they're doing stuff overnight that's just awesome.
Wow. Got a little CSI speed line
That's right. So, but that also leads, you know, to more suspects of who it could be.
Uh-huh.
It points to Patty, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And Victor, they took Victor's watch that he had.
His broken, bloody watch.
Yeah, his $50,000 broken, bloody watch thrown in the trash, and they searched the trash and found it. Right. Why would you throw away this very fancy... Swiss watch
because
with
I'm
blood all over it.
Richer than Midas, and it is a throwaway for me, and it's bloody, and it's broken.
I know.
I'll buy a new watch.
Yeah, exactly.
The end.
Or, there's just so many people that really could be incriminated on this one.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Wrongly.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to ride that out.
Ashley is just digging it, though. She's, gleeful. It's like, whoa, tone it down a little bit. Have a little... respect for the dead, you know. It doesn't have to be a lot, but geez. Just seemed unseemly that she was so excited that he was dead.
I just like, I don't know. And I was thinking, you know, it's probably some body we don't even know who the person is. But I think you're on the right track when you say it's probably Rafe.
Yeah, I think it's probably Rafe. And I think that Adam killed him by accident.
And then shoved Jack's handkerchief.
Yeah. I just don't see Adam as a killer, though. I don't think he's a cold-blooded killer. He's an accidental killer.
Definitely
accidental. He sets up things and then his fetuses contract, accidentally get, you know, killed.
Everything I've read is his contract is not up till mid-May.
And oh, so he's got plenty of filming time.
Exactly. Okay. I just don't think he's finished.
He's not it.
And Sharon has been having nightmares even
prior,
like after the explosion, right, that Adam comes. And I just have this feeling that they're going to sort of work the nightmares and make him come haunt her dumb.
Yeah.
Because back, actually, when she was still married to Nick, she went through this thing where there was this guy, I can't even believe I remember his name, I think it was Cameron Kirsten, and he, like, tormented her, and I can't remember the circumstances, but it was like, she thought she had killed him, or maybe she really did kill him.
Mm-hmm.
She basically went nuts for a while, where she was, like, seeing his zombie face out the window.
I think she kind of referred to that last summer when she was going a little nuts, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I totally remember where she had this body in the back of her trunk. And she was, like, gonna go dispose of it, so she probably went to the carnival side of town, you know? And it was, like, the most stereotypical, like, Latino gang members, stopped her and were gonna, like, you know, I'm sure violate her in, like, nine different ways. And I can't even remember how she got out of the situation, but it was just, like...
She wasn't rescued?
She's
always rescued.
She's hiding secrets and being tormented and being crazy, and I think that's kind of where they might be leading it again. I don't know.
I'm tired of the crazy chicks, you know?
Really? Well, I like good crazy, but I think Sharon does not do crazy
she doesn't do crazy very
well. She does pathetic well.
Oh, yeah.
But not crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I think Ashley, they haven't really addressed her craziness yet, but I think it's there. You've been saying that a long time.
I think she still has a strong undercurrent, and I think being separated from Faith might bring out some of her crazy, and that Tucker is going to rescue her. Tucker's going to be her salvation, because Neil is useless. He's just
useless with a capital U.
Yeah, just not even worth.
And really, in a way, I kind of feel like if Lily's having all these issues, maybe he shouldn't be dating.
Yeah, hello. Priorities.
But, you know.
Well, and it's not like he's, you know, respectfully dating and saying, you know, I've got all this other stuff going on.
Yeah.
I'd really like to be with you. Yeah. No, he's full on, come on, Ashley. And it was just like, ew. And that little, you know, business with Tucker when Tucker came over to ask her to dance. That was like something out of the 17th century. May I ask your date for
the masquerade ball?
I know, but still, it just seemed a little bit anti-feminist. It's just like, okay.
That's why I watched this show.
For the throwbackedness?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I loved it. Because Lauren's been missing, you know, for, I don't know, 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And everybody's freaking out. But Jana's been gone for, like,
weeks.
Yeah, 8 weeks. And they're just like, yeah, she's gone.
And she's still gone. But most of them still think that she deliberately left.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's only Michael and Kevin, who now think that she was absconded with.
It's just the whole Lauren thing. Then she gets taken to a cage.
Yeah.
They take her to the carnival. It's a fun place to be.
It is. It's the party. Well, I thought I'm kind of so bored by the storyline. I'm fascinated by the graffiti.
Yeah.
That's in the thing. I was just like,
I do kind of like this set.
Yeah.
In this sort of, like, well, at least it's something new.
And I like that it's always night there. I don't know if it's... Like, today they were talking, Lauren was talking with a bunch of people, and it was really dark, and I was like, okay. I'd remind myself that it's in, like, this back alley hallway kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, oh, okay, maybe it's not night, it's just dark there.
Yeah, but, because they'll show Kevin outside or whatever, and it was, like, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever.
Right, yeah, but, you know, if this really was a zoo situation, they wouldn't have light for the animals.
No, it's a carnival. Completely different. Zoos are theoretically humane. Carnivals are not.
And when do carnivals have cages and bars and hidden trapdoors?
The polar bears juggle stuff, right? I don't know.
That's a pretty permanent carnival. And if they have enough electricity to run the Calliope music... They don't have enough for some solar-powered lights, perhaps?
I think we could sit here and question the value behind the carnival all night.
Yes. Instead, let's move on.
You know, whatever. Anyway, so, yeah, they take...
So, Lauren's there.
And then and Lauren and Jana out where, actually...
Yeah, that they're talking.
Kind of like Jana's yelling from the box.
I'm in the box!
I've been here for, like, 3 months!
I really need to pee!
It was kind of sad and pathetic. And then all we heard was them just come take Jana. We don't really know anything else past that.
Yeah.
And then Daisy shows up doing her I'm bad crazy thing.
Yeah.
Which is just not convincing.
No. Really poor acting.
And basically just sort of lays it all out for us. We already know she and Ryder are twins. Mm-hmm. And Sheila is their mother.
Is their mother. And Tom is their dad.
And Tom is their dad.
Yeah. So...
And so then she would also be Kevin's sister.
Right.
And they're vengeful because Sheila was so consumed with her vendetta against Lauren back in mm-hmm. the 80s that now they're going to team up with Sheila to get Lauren.
Yeah, they...
That really did not hit home with me at all.
No, it really seems like... Well, she... must have brainwashed them, that all of her bad...
It's all because of Lauren.
It's all because of Lauren. I'm a bad mother because of Lauren. You know, you're poor because of Lauren. Everything is about Lauren, and they grew up believing it. Mm-hmm. And Ryder's starting to think twice, and Daisy's too dumb.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
I mean, I do remember the last time we saw Sheila. Remember her and Tom had teamed up... And that's eventually why Tom got killed, because he was mixed up with her, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I see that they're stringing that along. But then when Sheila actually shows up and, like... Reveals that she looks just like Lauren. Like, I don't know how many times you can go and get plastic surgery and look exactly like another actor, but...
I'm pretty sure not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just seemed like...
Like, I...
And I was looking at it, I was just like... Okay, I don't really remember Sheila, but didn't she used to look like Phyllis?
Yeah.
And now she looks like Lauren. All right. This is dumb.
It is just
This is really
stupid.
Dumb. They couldn't come up with a
and
fresh...
And the only way that they could, like, discern the difference is they gave Sheila Lauren, like, dark red lipstick.
Really bad lipstick, yeah.
And
a
it was
ton
like,
of it.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is so lame.
Yeah, now... We're assuming that she was the one who killed the guy that Daniel got framed for murder, and all of that is, like, resolved now that that's
what happened. Because that, they kind of brought that up, too. So Lauren was like, wait a minute, so...
Deacon came to town with Ryder, and...
And so you guys also framed Daniel, and it was like, really? Because if you really wanted to, like, get back at somebody and torment them, I think doing something more than, like... Framing your friend's son.
Your friend's lame son.
Yeah.
Something he probably, you know...
Whatever.
Wouldn't do.
Sending a pet rat in a box.
Yeah.
Like, really? Those are your
That's as bad as you can get? Huh.
Putting toxic glue in the wallpaper. I mean,
that's pretty clever. That one was like, alright, you're moving up a step on the villain ladder, but it's just...
I think this whole thing screams amateur.
Yeah. It's just sad. More than anything else. It's like... This is just, it's not interesting, I don't care, I just want it to be over.
I know.
And they made such a big deal out of revealing her, and then was just like...
Yeah, we already figured
it
out, and
we're
going to
do this forever.
It's like everybody was hoping that it wouldn't be Sheila, because
that would
be so lame.
That,
It's like the writers weren't listening.
Yeah, if it was anyone else, it would be interesting. Yeah. You know.
Okay, who is this mystery person?
Right, or, yeah. And why, okay. You know, why does she have a vendetta against this whole family? It could have been against anyone. If it ultimately turned out to be someone who had a vendetta against Gloria, uh-huh. That would have been interesting. Yeah. And why wasn't Gloria at the ball? Okay.
Just saying. That was a good question, because then, like, when Kevin was calling Michael when he was, like, kind of giving up his search for Jana, mm-hmm. Michael's like, Lauren's missing. You know, hey, Kevin, I know you're kind of stressed and all, but could you run home and see if Lauren is there? And Kevin's like, fine. And I was mm-hmm. thinking, doesn't Gloria live in the same building? Yeah. Where's Gloria? Yeah. Where's Jeffrey?
Can't you call that, you know, blonde chick who went on the date with...
Where's Finn? Where... Hello? Yeah.
Well, Finn's with Gloria and Jeffrey.
At the strip club? At the strip club, yeah.
I mean... Yeah. They're at Jimmy's, hanging out. In the kid room.
They're buying him his own incognito hat and cloak. Child size.
Yeah, I was going to say, baby's first incognito disguise kit.
Yeah. Oy. Anyway.
So yeah, we're already over the Sheila, and...
And it just started. And
it's going to go for weeks.
I know. Boo. The masquerade dislike. Ball had me, like... And
It was so good. It was so good. And so well done.
And I feel like they really just crapped all over
it. Yeah, really just, it was, Yeah.
Yeah. And then, one other last thing with nuttiness in terms of Patty was... Oh, yeah. That...
Patty woke up from the ball almost her true self. Yeah. You know, she, that explosion freaked her out. A lot. It knocked some Patty.
She started kind of like to the forefront. Trying to do some crazy, you know, like nursery rhyme singing to like calm herself down. Mm-hmm. And I thought for a second Paul was going to come around the corner and hear her singing. That would have
been so good.
You know? And figure that, oh crap. No, it's Paul. I know. Yeah, he had already lost Lauren.
Yeah, he couldn't find his ass with both hands. So, you know, he's not going to pick up on something like that. But so, Jack is freaking out. Yeah. You know, because she's just. Flying off the handle and...
Okay, my favorite part in...
Your favorite Patty moment?
My favorite Y&R moment was when she's kind of freaking out and Jack comes and he's kind of comforting her mm-hmm. and she's trying to, like, pretend like she's Dr. P and she's a little bit more calm but she's freaked out. And he goes, okay, I'm gonna go look for so-and-so. Who is he gonna go look for? I don't even know. Adam? Because Adam was still lost or something?
I can't remember.
Or just help with survivors. Yeah. And he goes, you need to get out there. Because there's a lot of traumatized people who need counseling. And yeah. I went, really? Okay. You're going to send your, like, wife who's... You just pulled out of the rubble. Practically, yeah. Can you make sure you counsel all those other traumatized people? Yeah, everyone else
who's freaking out. Even though you're trembling and can't make coherent sentences.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's fabulous. This clueless Jack, you know? He doesn't see anything. Beyond his own, you know, reflection.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And she's kind of acting funny, you know, then the next day, they're home. Mm-hmm. She's recovering, and Chance is kind of grilling her on, like, well, what did happen with
Adam? Yeah, but really not grilling her, just asking her pretty straightforward. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But he was being very businesslike and being, you know, Mr. Detective guy, and she doesn't like cops. Yeah. That's pretty clear. She's afraid of the police.
I'm with her on that,
for a good reason.
Yeah, they haven't done the nicest things to her. No.
So she's got plenty to be afraid of, so...
So then Jack is still going around, you know, trying to make everybody else happy. He goes to see Phyllis, and Patty follows and is listening through the window.
Yeah, was that the worst setup? Ever. Oh, can you open the window? I want to smell the spring air or some stupid-ass... thing. I was just like, are you kidding me? Really? No one has ever opened a window on this show ever. No. They're gonna do it today? Oh, I wonder what could happen. I know. That was just not okay.
And then...
So she's lurking outside listening
to Jack kind of bitch about her.
Yeah, just kind of having a
I don't think my regular, marriage is going so yeah, well. Yeah,
a regular venting, and Phyllis is kind of egging him on, saying, dump her right now.
It's not too late.
Yeah, you know, the first 6 months are the honeymoon phase, and you put on your best face, and if you don't like that face, you're free to go. And then which I thought, you know, of someone with, you know, Phyllis's history, it's like, wow, really?
I think she's bitter right now, so.
Yeah.
She was just like, hey, cut your losses.
Yeah, get out of there.
Yeah.
While you can.
So then Patty's out there, you know, and the dog shows up.
Segundo,
who's
so cute.
I know. Who's grown up to look exactly like Zabato.
Shocking.
And she's like, I thought I killed you. And the dog's like barking.
Yeah.
Because she's shoving a stick at it. Cowering in a corner.
Yeah, I mean, she...
And inside, Phyllis and Jack are like, what's that noise? Why is the dog barking? Should we go look?
Well, no, I liked that Jack, you know, Phyllis is, oh, it's just the dog barking. And he's like, no, it was a person.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Because Patty had this little soliloquy going on, like, you know.
Go away, dog. Leave me
alone.
Oh,
yeah, I guess she was just talking to the dog. Yeah, you're right.
But it was just like, you know, go for the daytime Emmy in that one moment. I'm going to pause here. Do a close, tight close-up of me. There was a lot of close-ups today that were too tight. It was like back, yeah. Back away. And while I'm talking about it, Ashley's using a little too much Botox on that upper lip. She needs to lighten up there. That always bothers me. I don't care for the Botox.
Anyway, back to Patty.
Okay, back to crazy Patty.
So we stay on the same line here.
Yes.
Okay, so then she goes back to the house. Jack comes back, and she knows that she's going to lose Jack here pretty soon.
If she doesn't get her Emily act together.
So she calls Mary Jane and tells him she's pregnant.
Right. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
Took me a minute to remember. I want to know where she got the positive pregnancy stick.
I was thinking you probably just take a red pen and just write
and just
plus.
Ink it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
Two bars.
Couldn't you do that?
I suppose. I mean, I've never.
I've never faked a positive pregnancy test.
No.
But I imagine
you
it
haven't
can't be that hard. April Fools.
Actually, my sister did that to us once. It was really not okay.
I think my husband would probably kill me.
No, he would just freak
out. It would just not be a happy moment.
Yeah, no. That's not something you want to joke
Fools.
About.
No, I was thinking, really, you could probably just take a pen and just
ink it in.
Whatever. I mean, how does he even really know? It's probably got a crayon, because you know she likes to color.
Oh, yeah. Good point. But I do like the fact that she had thought ahead.
And had that pregnancy.
And she had it ready, and it was like right there. It's like, ew, not in a baggie.
He was like, did you go to the doctor? And she was like, silly, I am a doctor. And by the way, here's my pee stick.
Right.
It shows.
Yeah, that's not something you should keep. Mementos are great, but no. That's gross.
That was funny.
So, so now he thinks that she's el pregnito. And it took him a while to be okay with it, which I thought was super great. Because she was expecting, you know,
flowers and candy and cribs being built in like an hour.
Well, and more sex. She wanted some, you know, I'm pregnant nookie. And he was just like, I need to think about this.
Yeah.
Looking very somber-faced for a while. And then he kind of started to, oh, that's right, I do like to have kids. And I do like to claim, because how many people has he...
I don't know, he's got like 4 kids probably.
They said something about somebody named Chemo?
Yeah, with his like Vietnamese wife from like 20 years ago.
Wow, okay.
10, 15 years ago. Right? She's Asian. I can't remember of what specific Asian place, but...
But he's got a kid an older kid then. Not just whiny Kyle.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I thought she just said whiny Kyle, so...
No.
I was kind of surprised, but...
You know.
So he finally comes around and says, all right, I guess this doesn't totally suck.
Yeah.
It's not gonna...
That's true.
You know. She's gonna work it for a while, so now she can have the non-hysterical pregnancy.
Sure.
So whose baby will she steal? She's gonna steal one of the twins.
No.
No.
I don't think we'll have any more baby stealing.
They better not.
I think
that's
he'll
a
see
once in a
soon.
Decade kind of a
they'll
thing.
They'll realize she's
do.
Not really pregnant.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Well, or she'll, you know, oh, I lost the baby. Or, you know,
yeah, that too.
In the middle of their having a fight or you know.
I'll be interested to see where that one goes.
Yeah.
All right, is it time?
I think it's time. Woohoo! So while, hey, Kitty, stop. Sorry.
Did you have a Patty moment?
I did.
Okay. All right. So last time we had left off, Chance had proposed to Chloe.
In the cab.
And
ride
she was
to nowhere.
Like, and we had.
I really like you, but.
Yeah, we had thought. I asked you. I said, do you think she'll say yes?
Yeah.
Because I just had this feeling. I was like, really? Okay. Was that easy? And she said no.
And she said no. And she, for good reason. I'm a little disappointed, but I do think she had legitimate, valid reasons to say, you know, unlike Jack, I'm not going to just say yes to every man who proposes to me, and this is not a good idea right now.
And it pretty much put a damper on the whole plan of deflowering in New York.
Yeah, no, he was pouty. He was not happy to be turned down.
Rightfully so, in a way.
In a way, yeah.
He was very idealistic in that he just thought everything was just going to be wrapped up in a big... He's a princess at that moment.
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it didn't work out so well, so they actually went back home that night.
Yeah.
They just turned the cab separate around
sides
went to the airport.
Separate sides of the plane. And I'm sure he, you know, stared moodily out the the rain-streaked window the whole way back. And she's kind of going, oh, great, now what do I need to do to get him to do me?
Because
it's not going to happen tonight, that's for sure. So he has a couple days, you know, or a day or two to think about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, to his credit, he kind of came around and said, you know, maybe you're right. And
he gives her kind of a schmoopy speech about how he thought he was waiting for the one so that...
That he wanted to marry.
And no, he really realizes he was saving his virginity just for Chloe.
Just for her, which I thought was sweet and kind of pathetic.
But I kind of thought it was, but at the same time I thought, really, for like 30 years of your life, you've held on to this value, and then now you're willing to just sort of...
Just give it up?
Yeah! I thought, you know,
he did
just give it up.
No. I think that he really did wait to fall in love with someone.
Okay, well, if he's going to wait much longer, it was getting bordering 40-year-old virgin time.
Well, right. But, you know, I still think it's sweet that he didn't just, you know, just because he could and he had ample opportunity, he did wait until he found the first person he really fell head over heels in love with.
Which just happened to be...
Who mostly loves him back. She's just like, okay, I'm not totally in love with you, but, you know, I'm pretty close.
Guarded. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, she's been burned before and she's being cautious, and I think that's admirable.
Yeah.
She wouldn't, you know, she doesn't have the same value put on sex, so for her it's just kind of a throwaway anyway, but was, you know.
But it was special for them.
It was special for them, and, you know, to be honest, I was a little disappointed by the deflowering. They went to the ball, they danced a little, they came home, he gave...
Because it was kind of awkward.
Yeah.
And then they came home, and they had a little talk.
Right, they had their little schmoopy... speech, and then they went upstairs and they had a little making out, and then
I thought it was actually when I was
it
thinking
was okay.
You remember when we had our best of the holiday moments, and it was like we couldn't even come up with a good love scene, and I thought this is one that I'll remember because it was kind of hot. No, I mean it was, but it was really short.
It was maybe that's my problem is that it was too short. It was not there.
But she had her cool
I'm pathetic.
Ball
there wasn't
gown.
Enough detail. It wasn't long enough. There was not enough of the gauzy.
When you say it wasn't long enough, it was a deflowering.
True. Okay,
anyway.
But that's just an opportunity to learn, and it just seemed like remember back when Kane and Lily first got together. And it was their first time together. And
oh,
Kane
God, and
had
they...
Been,
yeah.
And it just went on forever. It was like
you're
a
right.
whole episode and a half. I thought, okay.
You're right.
At least I'm going to get, you know, an episode...
You thought they were going to honor your deflowering of Chance.
I thought
so. Hour-long episode.
And maybe not an hour-long, but I would have been fine with at least, you know, more than what I got.
Okay. But once they had done it once, they did it like 10,000 times more.
Yeah,
and it was great because then the next morning, like... They're, you know...
Sore.
Oh, God. I was going to say, out of the shower, they had towels
on. Oh, that was super sweet. The shower scene was adorable.
They were just, you know, kind of, they were in their room, you know, like, oh, they just got out of the shower. And Nina just gets home from wherever she was, LA or something. Looking old and kind of haggard.
She looked bad.
She didn't look like she had very much makeup on or anything.
No, and that haircut is bad, and it's a bad color. They need to brighten up her hair.
She just looked like haggard old mother-in-law.
Yeah, she looked like 10 miles of bad road. She did not look good. And she did not look even, I mean, it wasn't that they were trying to make her look bad. She just looked bad. I'm sorry. I don't think she's, I think she's kind of cute.
She can
be. You know, I'd go out with her, but, but she needs to have her hair done up a little, and the little mascara is not going to do her any harm.
Yeah, well.
So.
She was stressed out because she thought, she was like, why haven't I heard from Chance? There was an explosion. Yeah. And, well, Chance was busy.
Chance was very busy.
And so she just goes knocking on every single door in the Chancellor mansion. Chance!
Are you
Chance?
In here? And then barges right in into his
Chloe's
room.
Is
it Chloe's
she
room
goes,
or his
Chloe,
room?
She goes, Chloe, she was like knocking on
oh,
the door.
Oh, that's right. Have you
Chloe,
seen?
Chloe, have you seen? Like, she's not even on friendly terms with Chloe.
No.
So who says that she can just go into Chloe's room?
Who respects any, I mean, everyone barges into everyone's house, room, bathroom, whatever. There's no expectation of
and where
any
was
kind
Esther,
of privacy.
You know, to be like, oh, they've been upstairs all night, so.
Right, well, Esther was taking care of the baby.
That's true, okay.
Esther and Delia are down in the kitchen.
You're right.
Giggling to each other. Ooh! Chance got deflowered, yay!
Yeah, so when Nina came in and saw them in towels.
Yeah,
she was
great.
Like,
she was incensed.
Incensed.
I mean, she
and
was
she
like,
had been up until like, I mean, she still has the flame has not been put out.
Oh, not at all. No, she gave Chloe quite the little speech, and Chloe gave it right back. She's just like, you know what? He's a grown man.
Yeah,
he can do what he wants. You know, who are you to be
Nina
criticizing
was her?
Yeah, of trying to trap her son, and she's like, yeah, from the woman who married a gay man. Just saying.
Who trapped a gay man.
Who trapped a gay man. Yeah, you know. I'm the one who said no to your son.
Yeah.
And then Nina gets all pissed. How dare you not accept his proposal? And
yeah.
Nina, pick one.
Yeah.
You can't have both.
Nina was...
She was so Nina.
I was like, man, I'm glad I don't have Nina as a mother-in-law.
It really rang true. It was just like, yeah, okay. Been there. Had that mother-in-law. So,
I'm
you know.
Sorry.
But,
did she barge in on you, like, post-shower?
Thank God,
sorry.
No.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. No, I thought that her barging in was bad enough. Chance's reaction to it was not good. He seemed a little...
I would be uncomfortable.
Shamed. But he seemed shamed, and it was just kind of like, dude...
He's new to this whole thing.
Yes, and it is his mom, but still, it just seemed like, you know, he should have been a little bit more, yeah, I'm a grown man, and I'm a sexual being, and I was a sexual being all night long.
He should have whipped off that towel.
Okay.
Look who it is, mom. I'm a man.
That's right. You know, he punched that card, but no, I just... He should have stood up for himself because, you know, so many other scenes, he's, you know, Mr. Dudley Do-Right and I'm on the case.
When he's in a suit.
I'm, you know.
That was awkward.
Yeah, he just seemed to.
But whatever.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to some more Nina.
Yeah.
Chloe fireworks. And her taking him to one side. Did she ask if they had had protected sex? I can't remember.
Oh, she just goes to Chloe. She goes,
I hope you're on the pill. That's right.
Yeah, she just turns around and goes, I hope you're on the pill. And Chloe was like, hello, baby in the room. Like, God, that was
really inappropriate. Yeah.
But thankfully, Chloe can handle it, so.
Oh, yeah. Chloe's,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I hope that they bump her up quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay. So,